In September, Ontario's Liberal government told us that the costly expense of full-day kindergarten was a worthwhile investment. They cited research that showed kids with 2 years of full-day kindergarten were showing measurably more cognitive and social progress than kids without it. The education minister, Liz Sandals, said this was nothing short of incredible. But the actual research from which the government got this information might tell a different story. Maybe it's not working so well after all. Andrea Morozik is the executive director of the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada. She joins us this morning on CFRA. Good morning.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks.
The government was citing a report, and now we know the full details of that report, and it seems to suggest that full-day kindergarten might not be worth the $1.5 billion investment.
That's correct. It's actually quite complicated. The government had done three studies, one of them was made available for the start of the school year when they did their press release and a press conference suggesting and really just going over the top and saying that this was a huge success that we ought to be doing, and I quote, that we ought to be doing cartwheels because it was so, the results were so good, incredible, gold medal. These were some of the words that were used at the time. Two of those reports done by Queen's University and McMaster University were not made available at the time of that press conference, but they were made available about a month later. So I've read all there's hundreds of pages of research there from Queen's and McMaster University, and those studies definitely do not say what the government told us that they did.
So what do they say?
Well, basically, I characterized the results as lackluster. There were some benefits, but they were few and far between, and there were also some drawbacks. And then for the most part, it showed a neutrality that is, you know, that's fine, except, again, not what the government told us. They certainly do say that in some cases children did worse with full day kindergarten as contrasted with non-full day kindergarten, and basically spoke to a host of difficulties that I think it's important to be accurate about what the reports say simply for the sake of accuracy. It's a good lesson in not trusting government press releases, I suppose.
So if you were to characterize whether or not full day kindergarten is working for kids, is improving their cognitive ability, if you were to do that based on the research that you've read, these hundreds of pages, you would say the outcome is neutral.
Oh, yeah, and in some cases detrimental, and absolutely would say it certainly is not advancing children, which was the claim, right? I mean, the gold medal results came from the government telling us that children were doing so well that it was astounding. That puts a lot of pressure on parents. A lot of parents are hesitant to send a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old to a full day, a very long day. And this puts pressure, I think, because obviously parents want to be doing the very best they can. And if it's suggested that their children are going to be behind by not doing this, I think that can place pressure on parents. And it's absolutely not true that they will do better. You know, it's interesting, even the government report buried on page 18 somewhere comes out with the reality that over time, any academic improvements are not likely to hold. And so it was an exercise in some sort of a PR stunt when they did that press conference at the start of the year, suggesting all these positives. They've put a lot of money into this one program, and I think at this point they need to be suggesting that it's all very much worthwhile. Consider especially that Don Drummond suggested that the whole program be cut given the province's tenuous financial situation.
So when the province came out and said, when the government came out and said it's working, the evidence suggests it's working, were they completely misleading us, or were they simply cherry-picking some of the evidence that did cite some cases where it had improved children's scores?
The smallest of the studies that were done was the one that was released at the start of the school day, start of the school year, sorry. So I've mentioned a Queen study, a McMaster study, and a government study. And the only one that we got to see at the start of this school year was the government study. And in that case, they were cherry-picking some results from that, showing that there were tremendous improvements, leaving behind all of that other research from Queen's and McMaster. So that's how they came to that. I would call it a misrepresentation and a really bad one at that. But I wouldn't go so far as to say that they were lying. What the McMaster study in particular showed that there's, you know, where there were improvements, these improvements were very, very close to one another. You can still say that there were improvements in those cases, but it's not a dramatic thing, really. But if you just talk about those improvements, then I guess you could do that press conference that they did at the beginning of the school year.
What about the kids who are doing worse or the kids who aren't benefiting? What do you think is the cause of that? Why is it not at best neutral or good for everybody to be at that age spending more time in school?
I think there's a lot of reasons for that, Mark. I think it comes down to some of the behavioral things that the existing literature on the topic already shows, that kids at that age have a hard time regulating. This is one of the factors on which the studies measured children was behavioral factors. I think that that can be one area where it's troubling. A lot of parents will comment on the fact their kids are very, very tired. Self-regulation becomes more difficult, and any kind of learning becomes more difficult when anyone, including small children, are tired. So those are some of the reasons I can think of. We knew already from the existing body of literature on this topic that some children from lower income or disadvantaged households will do better, but that a lot of kids coming from the vast majority of Ontario's households would fare somewhat neutrally or possibly negatively. So this is just bearing out what other research has shown before. And why that is probably due to some of the factors I've mentioned and many more as well.
Bottom line, though, the government can no longer argue based on the research that it's worth $1.5 billion to have full day kindergarten and that it's creating a benefit to kids across the board.
Absolutely not. And here's what I predict is going to happen. They are going to acknowledge that 30 children with two adults is not a terribly great ratio, which it isn't. They're going to try and staff that more. The costs of this program are not going to stay at $1.5 billion. So in effect, the costs are going to rise. How much is anybody's guess? And so we'll be paying a lot more than this annually at a time when we're in the red. For a program that doesn't really show any benefits for the vast majority of Ontario's kids. So when, you know, anybody knows in the family budget, there's limited resources, the same is true at the government level. So there's other things that we are not going to have money for. And that includes in the education field, special education needs, other programs for children of other ages. We can't do it all. We are not going to be able to continue to do it all. And, it's something to ask the government why they pushed forward on this, but it's only going to get more expensive. And I almost wish at this point that they would put more money into it, because 30 small children in a room with two adults is a not great ratio. That's not really great for kids.
Andrea Morozik, thanks a lot for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me on.
Andrea Morozik, Director of the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada.